Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show. Jeez, that supplement I took is hitting me.
That right what?
Now. I took a, it's not even a weird one. It's like a
GABA.
I took that one. Yeah, or heroin, whatever it's called.
Are you being serious?
I am. It's just like.
Did you
you hide something in the GABA?
What?
Did you fucker?
No. Me?
Did you?
Do you think I would do that?
No, but like maybe you did. Look at your face. You evil.
No, I wouldn't. I actually would not do that to you. I'm messing with
I'm
you.
I'm like, man, this GABA is hitting hard today. Anyway, let's come back to soulmates.
Well, how's it hitting you?
I can't feel my arm.
You are listening to The New Man, Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach, Trip Lanier.
Do you believe in soulmates, or is that just some rom-com BS? Do you feel guilty for having a life outside of work and your relationship? And what relationship advice would have helped your younger self avoid a huge headache? Today, my wife Allison and I deal with past relationship failures, settling for nice guys, and what it may really mean to have a soulmate.
I have questions for you that I really want you to answer, but I don't have good answers for them.
You don't have good answers?
No, I know you're going to be like, well, what about you? And I'm not going to have very good answers.
You never know. What makes it a conversation is it's an exploration where I look smarter than you.
Yeah. Plus, I suck at storytelling. So.
Jeez, you're so smart.
All right, you have a question?
Yeah.
Who's the question from?
This one's from Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler. That doesn't sound real.
So I have two. One is, what advice would you give your 30-year-old self? I also have one that is, what is a relationship or situation where you wish you could go back and do it differently? So if I blended the two, it would be something along the lines of, what would you give your 18, 20, 25, 30-year-old self? What kind of advice would you want to give yourself? Why are you like rubbing your head and
laughing? So I'm trying to think about the moron I was at 30, the version of the moron I was.
What about the moron you were at 18 or 20?
The moron I am now, and then the moron I was at 30. Do you want to go first?
Mm-mm.
It's
my question for you.
What relationship advice would I give myself at 30?
If you could be a little angel on your shoulder, good guidance.
Well, I think it was at 30, I lacked a vision for what was possible in relationship, and I... you know, the relationships that I was familiar with were compromised, let's say. And it was like you contort yourself in order to be in this relationship, which is different than like you make compromises to be with a partner. But that's like contorting who you are or cutting parts of yourself off in order to be in that relationship, to be accepted in that relationship. And that was pretty normal. And so I think that was a big thing for me at that age, was I was growing and more of me was coming online. I was allowing more of myself to be myself, but the relationship world for me seemed to be limiting who I was.
So you say more of you was coming online. Does that mean that how were you contorting yourself?
I felt like I was having to keep some of that stuff. Some of that, like I was getting deeply into spirituality, philosophy, and that was weird and threatening, or just not a place where I felt met.
And was it weird and threatening to your partner actually, or did you just project that it would be and you just didn't even try?
It was projecting, but it also, what it did was it took me, I was going and investigating things. I was like, oh, I want to learn about this thing. I'm going to get on a plane and go on this retreat, or I'm going to go and do these things. And so I had this genuine interest, but it wasn't a thing of, hey, look, we're doing more things together. It was, we're doing fewer things together and our interests are less aligned. And so that was threatening to feel that I was growing and moving away from that. And so
to your partner, it was threatening to your partner, or to you?
It was threatening to me. Like, what does this mean? And not wanting to disrupt things. And I cared about the relationship. I wanted it to do well. And I would say that, that part of like feeling split, like I had to hide things. I had mm-hmm. to hide what was really important to me, or push it down or push it away because it created friction. That sucked. And I would say that, so it would be just like being okay with owning that, even though it might be disruptive to the relationship. And I just think overall, it was the flip of, I want to be in a relationship that supports me to be more of who I am, versus I have to contort myself and make myself smaller in order for the relationship to be okay. Mm-hmm. It was that flip. And the belief underneath was, well, I'm not going to be able to find somebody if I own all of who I am.
Right.
I'll be alone.
Uh-huh. And you didn't want to be alone.
I didn't want to be alone. No. Mm-hmm. And had it pretty good. So I didn't want to. So I think it was that thing that I was in, which was this belief, this weird belief that in order to have a relationship, I had to be smaller or less than who I was in order to have the relationship, instead of. And this is ultimately what happened, which was like, no, if I'm going to commit to a relationship, it's to something that supports me to be more of who I am and all of who I am. Mm-hmm. Even if that is confronting, even if that is challenging. Mm-hmm. And that would have really helped me at that time to have that.
Do you think you would have heard it, been able to hear it at the time?
I think so. I think it would have been scary.
Well, you point out a really good and common piece when you said that you started spending less time together and that was threatening. That, I think that's where people get into a lot of hot water with each other and themselves and it's also where even the movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin? No, it was something else.
Boogie
Nights. This is 40 or something, where the woman, like the guy just wanted to go have a guy's night. And she was like, but you don't want to have a night with me?
Yeah.
Right. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah.
And I think that's, you're pointing out something that's really common, is like, if the partner doesn't want to, it needs to do something else other that's outside of the partnership, or that what am I trying to say? It doesn't always need to be inside the partnership, but I think that people have come to believe that it has to happen inside the partnership. It being whatever it is, your needs getting fulfilled, your development getting fulfilled.
Which is really common, especially as guys get married, people get married. It just becomes like, if it's not work, then I have to be with my wife or my kids. And then somehow I'm supposed to be bringing energy to them. even though I don't have a life outside right. of these things, and it's threatening if I have a life outside of those things, or it's just really uncomfortable. And so having friendships or having activities that I do with men, or I have adventures in the world or whatever, those are all seen as threatening or something that can drive a wedge between us, instead of, oh, that helps me reinflate myself and I bring energy into my relationship, into my family, and gift them with that. And I think that's that shift in philosophy of the relationship kind of has to be the center of the world, instead of what are we doing to support the individuals here so that the relationship can be stronger.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And I just want to name, like, I feel this as we've gotten older and more domesticated, it takes work to do those things.
Yeah. I mean, we've named it how when we get out or do something, we return and we're like, oh, wow, I really didn't want to do that because I was actually comfortable just staying home or just hanging with you guys or whatever. And I'm so glad I did get out, because now I feel more, you know, just I can bring more life back, more of me back.
At 30, and you know, that was a time in my life where I would jump on a plane at any moment and go travel and go do crazy, cool, fun things. And now it's like, oh gosh, I got a trip coming up. And
well, also you hate planning.
Planning and planes. And
you also hate planes now. That's right. There's a lot of things working against
and
you now. It's not
people.
Just your family.
Yeah. I'm on the march towards grumpy old manhood, but yes, the energy that comes back from that, and just all the infusion of new vitality that comes from those experiences. Like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I feel more invigorated with you and with me.
Sure, it's a gift.
And my work, it just, everything feels fresh.
Yeah.
Again, instead of, my life feels dull. It must be because of my relationship or my work, instead of, no, go have adventures and things outside of work and relationship, and then bring that energy into those things and take the pressure off of relationship and work to check all these boxes for you.
Yeah. And you're actually pointing to another thing that doesn't happen when, so there's the first thing is like, don't leave me. Like, we do everything together. And if you're going to do something on your own, that must mean that something's wrong with us. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece you're talking about, we're both talking in agreement about bringing that back as a gift to the relationship, mm-hmm. to the family. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that I think is the what you were talking about, the contorting yourself is, you know, it's a myth that you have to do that. I mean, there's some partnerships where show your true self and the person's like, yep, check please. Like, you know, and that's fine. Better to learn that sooner than later. So, but the other piece that we're speaking to is actually bringing it back, believing that you can bring it back into the relationship.
And that's what has me feel really bonded with you or with others. We're like, wow, I'm really excited that you had that experience. What did you learn? Like, what can you, instead of like, I hope your trip was fun, asshole.
Yeah.
You owe me now. Like that kind of shit. It's like, oh, gross.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, just to be fully inclusive of all the different variations of that experience is the I'm thinking of the time when you first found authentic SF, which is now Authentic World, or I don't even know if they're still a company anymore, and I remember that you were so rocked by that experience, by going and being part of that community for a bit, doing some of their stuff. And when you came home, I mean, I heard it in your voice when we talked when you were away, and I was like, cool, he's having a great experience. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you came home and I could tell you were still really kind of in it. You were still really working with something. Mm. It was like you were still almost like you were trying to integrate it, or I'm not sure what was happening, but that there was something that needed to happen for you without me still, even though you were home. And I remember that period of time and that felt threatening to me, because you weren't bringing it back. You weren't bringing you back. You were still kind of in an integration period. And I think the reason I'm bringing this up, because I think it can happen with people, couples, and like one partner wants to go off and do psychedelic experience or whatever. even just a transformational workshop, and then they come home, and there can be an integration period. Like, how do you integrate that stuff? And so, and that can take time. But I remember that that was threatening to me. And I remember kind of, I think we were standing in the kitchen or somewhere in our house. And I remember saying, look, you're entitled to your needing, like, if you need time and space on this, that's fine. But I need you to talk to me about where you just were and who are these people? Like, are they trustable? Yeah. Because they're fucking with you right now. And they're either fucking with you in a great way or they're fucking
with
you. I'm
being impacted, you mean.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know if I could trust who was having an impact on you.
Okay.
If that was having an impact that was going to contribute or take away. And the reason I'm saying that is because that happens all the time. Even if a person wants to go to therapy, there can be a thing around like, whoa. Like I don't trust your therapist because they're bringing all this growth and that growth is threatening me somehow.
Yeah.
Who is this therapist? Are they really going to champion us?
Right.
Or are they just going to look out for you and then I'm somehow a villain?
Yeah.
So the reason I brought that in is because they are genuinely threatening. They are genuinely threatening to people. Yeah. These kinds of things can feel genuinely threatening.
Yeah, and I think that's where it's good to have some scaffolding in place of, hey, this is in support of me being stronger, but ultimately in support of us being stronger, whatever that means. I think there's a lot there. If the relationship bond is weak and it's dependent upon isolating from the world and from others and from new ideas and new influences, then it's going to be really hard. It's going to be like, we just stay at home all the time and we don't do anything. But if there's a belief of like, hey, the stronger you are, the stronger our relationship is, the more vital things can be here. It might be upsetting at times. It might rock the boat at times, but ultimately it can be beneficial. And I think there's also a shift of what is this relationship really about? So on one level, if the relationship is, the reason why I'm with you is because you're here to make me comfortable. You're here to make me feel accepted. You're here to provide a really safe space. And if you screw that up, you're an asshole.
Right.
Right. There's that kind of a thing, which is different than we're in a relationship together to support each other, to be our best, healthiest, more whole versions of ourselves. That's very, very different. And that might be more disruptive. That might mean you leave more or you have a life that's outside of our relationship more, but it's serving you to be a more whole version of yourself. And that's the role I want to play in your life. And that's the role I want you to play in my life. But that's a lot different than, hey, button it up. And you just need to be the person that makes me feel comfortable and accepted.
Yeah. And really what you're pointing to, commercial break, because this is like the perfect weave in to how people get there really comes down to early on. If we're talking about giving yourself advice, why are you laughing?
Funny. Let's not say it in the microphone. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. All right, just go. Just say, I'm sorry. You're just funny. It was like,
don't say it because it'll hear it. Well, you tell me to be like right here in the front of the microphone. And so if I'm over here, you can cut it out, right?
I can cut it out if you're right here. It all gets cut out wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you are. It can get cut out. Okay. Thank you for your consideration.
So all of that, like that kind of brings me back to that Dirk Diggler's original question of what advice you would give someone who's younger, because you're talking about not contorting yourself. You're talking about really honoring your true nature, like who you really are as it comes online, even if you're still in the developmental process of it coming online. You start together. You start with being really transparent, being able to figure out where you are aligned. What are you in this relationship for? Like, right. what's this really for?
Right.
And a lot of people kind of, I think a lot of people, at least when I was in the dating game, which was a long time ago, a lot of people's sort of what's it all for was like, do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids? Do you, where do you think you might want to live? Blah, 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 blah. Like it was that what's it all for? And that wasn't actually what yeah. it needed to, the conversation needed to be about. Those were just factors that might impact the larger what's it all for sure. But it's like, where are we aligned
right.
in our vision and our values in the life that we want to have and cultivate for ourselves and each other? If we're going to partner,
yeah.
what would I want for you? And what would you want for me?
I just think it's a maturity thing. Like from early on, it's like, all right, I don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
The idea of being in this world alone just really sucks. I want to find somebody that wants to spend their life with me too.
Yeah.
Okay. That's this bar. We're not going to make it bad or wrong, but that's a different question than I see myself as growing in my life and allowing myself to be more of myself and explore what that possibility is. And I want somebody to meet me there too. Mm-hmm. So if I just pick somebody because I don't want to be alone, I love them, but really the core piece is like, let's just not be alone.
Yeah.
That's way different.
Or to procreate.
Yeah. Oh, you get to, you know, I mean, there was definitely like, oh, cool. I meet you and I can already kind of see the wedding and what we're going to name the kids. And it's just mm-hmm. like planning that ideal life, the picture of the life, mm-hmm. but not.
But even still, I think that there's, even with that, I think it would be really good advice, even to those folks at their younger selves, to say, great, if you want that, name it. Like, have yeah. a meeting where you're think, actually I, well, claiming that.
The 30-year-old version of myself didn't realize there was this next stage or this next level. Mm. As I said, it was like kind of the cultural thing of, yeah. you got married because you didn't want to be alone. And most of the marriages were like, yeah, whatever, bah humbug, like, she's yeah. great, I love her, but Jesus, what a pain in my ass. Am I right? You know, women, right? Wives, right? Like, am I right? You know, right, like that right, kind right. of vibe. I was like, God, that sounds terrible.
Right.
So, and I didn't realize that what was happening for me is that I was on this growth path for my own self. And it didn't occur to me that I could partner with somebody who was on their own path and we could be supportive of one yeah. another in that growth. That's where I lacked vision and possibility.
You said, I just don't want to be alone. And so
it's more complex than that, but that's really the root of it.
Yeah. I've so many people say that. And mm-hmm. so, but I do think that that is like, that's part of the, like if we put it on a spectrum or something, yeah. it's like, that's early on. That is what it's about. Like mm-hmm. I want to be partnered. Like I want to play house. Like for right. me, it was, I wanted to play house. Like it was so fun to have a house with a partner and like explore what mm-hmm. that would be like getting furniture or, you know.
I think the problem comes when we don't allow ourselves to continue to grow or to be on that arc. And that's where I encounter a lot of, at least in my world, like a lot of people that have been in a relationship, they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and they're like, this isn't working anymore. Right. I feel bad. She's not a bad person. I'm not a bad person, but I feel bad. Like I must be doing something wrong. When yeah. in actuality, it's like one person, they've grown apart in that way.
Yeah.
And they're not on the same page in terms of that arc of development. So one is essentially, I don't know if they would describe it themselves, but I see it as them becoming more whole. Mm. They're accessing more of who they are and bringing more of that to the world. That's what has them feel more free, alive, loving, at peace. Okay.
And that's not necessarily graceful. You're like, you're talking about somebody that needs to go have an affair because
no,
they
I'm just saying like they might be just
their,
the into somebody that would listen to this podcast or read my book or other books in this genre. Like they're into mm-hmm. that stuff. There's an intrinsic kind of leaning towards this wholeness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And maybe their partner isn't on the same page and doesn't understand it and just thinks it's weird. And why can't you just be like some of the other people and mm-hmm. just go to and do the same things? Why do you, what is this weird stuff? Can you put those books away? Somebody might see them if they come over, you know, it's like the getting mm-hmm. that message, like mm-hmm. you're not accepted if you're into that kind of thing, or why do you want to go away? You know, why do you want to go try this thing and getting friction there? Mm-hmm. And that what that does is we do feel alone. Mm-hmm. We start to feel alone in our relationship. And that's where there's a real rub. And it's like, gosh, am I with the wrong person? And it's not so much you might be with the wrong person so much as you guys have just outgrown each other. You guys have entered into a different season. And can you respect the other person where they are in their growth path instead of needing them to change, and also just respect where you are on your growth path and owning that?
I mean, that absolutely might be true. But I also think it's really important to, particularly if you've built a life with someone up to a certain point, I think it's only fair if you actually check it out.
Yeah.
And because it's so easy to jump to, I've outgrown this person.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I wouldn't just jump to that, but there would be a lot of communication around, hey, here's where I'm at.
Well, that's what I wanted to point to. I think we're not speaking to the necessity for communication, and it might be sloppy. Most people don't know how to do this.
I think it's really sloppy. It's like, you need to be different is usually what the message is.
Right.
Instead of,
well, even if it's like, I'm, I need to do this and I've outgrown bluffs, this or that, or I'm blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, even if it's just that, it can come across as exclusionary, you know, because it's like, well, where am I in? What am I chopped liver?
Enough. You're not enough.
Right.
For me, which is always a wonderful thing to hear from your parent or from your, your partner. So
yeah. Parents too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dirk, for your wonderful question.
Yeah, thanks, Dirk, for his question. Yeah.
And lay off the Bolivian booger sugar, buddy.
Well, I don't think it's actually Dirk Diggler, right?
I don't know. You said that they contacted you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just assumed it wasn't the celebrity.
Oh, right. It's not the celebrity. It's somebody else named Dirk Diggler. Regardless, stay away from the booger sugar. All you right. have a question? You have
Another
to go.
One?
You didn't like my questions. Keep going.
What were your questions?
You didn't like any of them.
You didn't tell me any of them. You just told me who they were going to be from.
Oh, I did. No, I told you. All right, I got one. Well, we'll kind of follow in this same vein here.
It wasn't that I didn't like your questions. It was that it was 8:30 at night and you were firing them off one after the other. And I was like, I can't even follow this right now.
I knew that. Yeah. All right, this one's from Jennifer Lopez.
The Jennifer Lopez?
No, just her name. She's an accountant for an AI-powered street cone manufacturing company.
Street cone?
Yeah, they make street cones with AI. And she says, I'm not even making this up.
AI-powered street cone.
It's cutting-edge street cone.
Is this like a 3D printer type company?
Oh, I don't even know. It's a proprietary thing. It's very, we'll have to ask her.
And Jennifer Lopez works there?
Yeah. Yeah. She wrote us.
AI?
She wrote us. No. I was going to do her accent, but I'm not going to do that.
Oh, please. No. You're so good at accents. Let's see what countries we get in the accent today.
This is how she talks. She says, I listened to The New Man and read your book because I want my husband to be a better man.
Oh, yeah. That's a common one.
Okay. He's a grown man. He should just know how to be better to me. I don't know if we're soulmates.
Right. Well, this is right in the line.
Things are frustrating. And yeah, am I with the wrong guy? And how do I get him to wake up? Because she wants to be, the thing that stuck out to me was the soulmate thing. Like if it's.
Really? The thing that stuck out to me was really clear, high expectations with zero communication.
Well, I think that's part of it. If I'm with my soulmate, then I don't have to do
like they just don't know.
Yeah.
We're like telepathically connected.
Well, I think that's it. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
There's a lot of what?
Did you ever buy into the soulmate thing?
I really never bought into the soulmate thing. No, I.
Was all the rom-coms you've watched in your lifetime?
I know. You'd think.
Jeez, that supplement I took is hitting me.
That right what?
Now. I took it's not even a weird one. It's like a
GABA.
I took that one. Yeah, or heroin, whatever it's called.
Are you being serious?
I am. It's just like.
did you
hide something in the GABA?
What?
Did you fuck her?
No. Me?
Did you?
Do you think I would do that?
No, but like maybe you did. Look at your face. You evil.
No, I wouldn't. I actually would not do that to you. I'm messing with you.
I'm like, man, this GABA are hitting hard today.
Maybe there's something with the GABA and the coffee. You're not going to like.
No, we're good. Anyway, let's come back to soulmates.
Well, how's it hitting you?
I can't feel my arm.
I just want to be mindful that you wanted to give that to our daughter.
Well, I think I usually have it with some food. We didn't have breakfast this morning. So.
Who didn't? Oh, yeah. Breakfast.
Look at your eyebrows.
Do you want some food?
No, I think I'm fine. I'll feel my arms in a minute.
I can't feel my arms. Maybe we should talk about that.
All right, we're good. We're coming back.
Are you sure?
I just would like to know if that was actually what I took. Or if you've been using that jar for something else.
No, I wouldn't use that for anything else. I don't touch your supplements.
Okay, great. Soulmate, so you watched a lot of rom-coms.
I love rom-coms.
But did you buy
I still love rom-coms.
That whole idea, like if I meet the right person, that's the end of the movie, right? Like everything's just hunky-dory from there on out.
Yeah, I mean that, but that's why it's a movie.
Well, yeah, but that's a lot of people buy into that. I know that you get that's a movie, but there's a lot of that, which is like, if there's a bump, if it starts getting bumpy and we have to work at this, or then I'm not with my soulmate. I think there's just this idea of like, what does soulmate mean? It means no problems and everything's amazing all the time for a lot of people.
I think that a lot of people think that soulmate is you've met your the true sort of match or other, like a puzzle piece that you all fit in all the ways together. And so, yeah, it does. I think it translates to people presuming that means that there's like no problems and you're just there. It's just all homogenous and it's great.
You never need your friends anymore. You never need anything outside of the relationship anymore.
Maybe. I mean, I never really got, didn't ever get fully into that. So I don't.
All right.
What I'm aware of is that I was lucky enough to I really appreciate my mother in this respect. So I think about my relationship history and I knew jack shit about relationship. I didn't necessarily come from a family that related in healthy ways. And I certainly didn't know how partnerships related in healthy ways. I'd never done that before. Mm-hmm. And so over time I remember one of my first relationships that I thought, wow, this is a really great, this is like really, probably the first real relationship I had was, I think it was 18. And I met a guy, I was spending the summer in Wyoming and I know exactly what you're thinking. I met a guy in Wyoming and I probably shouldn't say what you're thinking, but he was a really, really good guy. Like he was so awesome. We had fun together. He was kind. He was respectful, which in my 18 years at that point, I had not had that experience mm-hmm. with boys, loving and, able to talk and communicate pretty well mm-hmm. for an 18-year-old. And just really caring, like genuine, like, oh my gosh, I could totally see myself really settling down with this person, even though I'm just 18. Like this is a person this person checks the boxes. Mm-hmm. Didn't feel like he was a soulmate by any means. Cause I wasn't really on that, mm-hmm. framework, but in my brain, but like definitely was a good fit. And I remember, I don't know if my mom met him. I think she must've met him in person at one point. I think she met him in person. He came to visit after the summer was over. And I remember after he left, I was like, what do you think? And she was like, she kind of held herself very still. She just slightly nodded her head and she said, he's a nice boy. But the way that she said it, the message I got was like, this motherfucker's going to bore the shit out of you. You're going to eat him alive in the next 10 years. Like, she never said any of that, but she was just like, he's a very nice boy. Hmm. And I remember it was the reflection that I needed around it. It suddenly broadened my ability to have a perception of my whole life, like what kind of relationship I might want for my life. Mm-hmm. And of course I would want, like, yeah, of course I would want somebody that's nice. Mm-hmm. Of course I would want somebody that's good to me. Mm-hmm. But that's not all I want. And just in those words, he's a nice boy, and the demeanor that she gave me, she wasn't condescending to him either, but just in those words, there was something that clicked in me that was like, wait a minute, there's more than this. Mm-hmm. And I need to listen to that. Mm-hmm. And from every relationship forward, somehow that landed in me in such a way where every relationship after that, I was able to look at it kind of a zoomed out perspective of, okay, this person's really fun right now, and this would be fun for me to try this on and work this shit out inside of me or whatever, but this is definitely not long-term relationship material. And I guess that's why I never believed in soulmates, because it was so clear that there, for me, that it was like, oh my gosh, there's so much happening right now in development. Like, mm-hmm. we're all just crashing along. Mm-hmm. So what is it that, what would have me be a yes? And I really didn't know. Even when I met you, like, I was so freaked out. I couldn't figure out. You couldn't fit into the, like, the non, like, nope, this is definitely not a person that could be sustainable for me.
Wait, you didn't see me as somebody who could be sustainable?
No, I said you didn't fit into my... When I would be with somebody, I could kind of zoom out. For somehow, ever since that one exchange with my mom, every person that I was with after that, I had moments where I could zoom out and really see, like, this is not somebody that is a partner to me. Like, this is not just this is not a long-term partner. This is not a marriage material. This is not life partner material.
Right.
There's something I could just feel into and know that. And that became a thing for me to, like, it became an intuitive piece that I could rely on. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that you didn't happen with you. And so I didn't know what to do with you, because it wasn't easy to just be like, nope. With you.
That was kind of you had a release valve. Like,
it was valve. It was like, okay, cool. So I can just have fun with this person. I can totally, like, whatever. If I need to work something out, great. I get to work it out with this person. Or if I want to play in this way or play house in this way, great. I'm going to do it with this person. But there was sort of I don't think that I ever showed up in relationship as one foot out the door, but internally there was definitely.
Sounds like it.
I know it does. Oh, ask my partners, but my former boyfriends, but I'd like to weave it back to the soulmate question. I just never believed in soulmates. And I think that there's something with absolving yourself of your own trajectory, your growth path, your responsibility, your engagement with your own growth path. I'm like making this up as I go, because it sounds like a brash judgment, but it's like, if you just say, oh, they're my soulmate, then what does that do for you in your growth path? Hmm. I don't know. I mean, there are people that really believe in soulmate stuff, and maybe they think that their soulmate is like, this is the person that I'm going to have all my growth with. I don't know.
I think it's kind of like, we're back to the first part of our conversation today, which is like, at the level of, I just don't want to be alone and this is going to be happily ever after. That's what a soulmate is.
Yeah. You know,
the person that helps me create this ideal life, the way it looks, and I have this vision for my life, and, you know, the 2.5 kids and the house and the whatever that is for that person. Mm-hmm. And at that stage, that's what it could mean, because of our limited perspective. That's what soulmate could mean. And I've been thinking about this, because I've been thinking about the word soul a lot. It's not a word that I use a lot, but the stuff that I'm working on these days, and it's been coming up, which is, do I have somebody that will meet me at the level beyond my job, my identity out in the world, that is willing to see me there, that is willing to meet me there and relate with me there. And there are friendships that I have in my life where that's certainly not the case. And then there are friendships that I have where it seems like we can meet there mm-hmm. more and more and see each other. We might hang out in the more of the surface level stuff, but then ultimately we can meet on a more soul level and like, yeah, I see you. I see your whole life ahead of you. I see the all, you know, who you're becoming. And
you're saying you have people and friends in your life that
yeah.
see that?
Yeah. I think that that's it's that willingness to not get hung up on the superficial or the outside story of things and like, who is this person really? So it's that willingness to like not get hung up in the story we might tell about ourselves. Mm-hmm. I'm this guy, I'm this business owner, I'm this, this is my success, this is the mm-hmm. things that I've put out into mm-hmm. the world, but like, who are you really? And I see you in there. I see your fears and I see your shadow and I see, and you're still very worthy of love. Like, of course you're worthy of love. And I think a mate there, mm-hmm. having mates that can connect with us there is really important. I think it was our buddy Coot that we would talk about soul vision, and it was always fun. And I remember he and I would walk around LA and like practice soul vision because there's so much posturing going on in LA. And it was like, well, just like see this person through their, beyond their posturing. Mm-hmm. Like there's this thing, they were wearing this ridiculous outfit and their right. chin's up or whatever. And they're just thinking like, well, who are they really? And all of a sudden it's like, there's a little 5-year-old in there and there's just a part and like, can you speak to that part of them? And it was just an exercise. It was just being playful, mm-hmm. but it was like, who are they really? And then that always allowed my heart to open towards them. Usually the posturing, I was like, fuck this guy, this fucking douchebag, you know, and I'd get all judgy and everything. Right. But then if I could access more of my soul and like, who are they really? Mm. And it was like, oh, there you are. I see you. Mm-hmm. And it helps me when I'm doing work with others. Like, who are they really? There's the person that's presenting themselves today. And then who are they really underneath that? And then working with there. But I think we can be mates there. I don't know if that means that we're like welded together there. Well, but I think that's important.
It reminds me actually what you're speaking to. I mean, there's just kind of a likeness to like, I'm not a tantric person, but it reminds me of like tantra, right? Like, so the sort of the tantra itself, that lineage of teachings and is like rad stuff. And then there's like the people that call themselves the tantric practitioners. And it's like, or even like fucking, I mean, like when talk about Jesus or the Holy Spirit or whatever, like that's some rad shit. And then you get into the church and the people that
I'm going to go get my Jesus is rad shit.
You get the evangelists out there that are like, you know, trying to
take advantage of
hold it down somehow. Yeah. And so anyway, my point is like that does remind me like maybe that's actually the origin of soulmate is someone who sees you, really sees your essence. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, the soul vision, I love that. That's beautiful. I don't know that I ever had soul vision.
You can
I
always practice had, it.
No. I practice the healer vision, like the wound, like oh, where's God, your wounds?
Don't do
like,
that.
I can see the core wounds in
that's
people.
That's
well, you said like oh, I know I, see I their do that too, old.
And it's hard. It's hard seeing people's.
Well, like it helps me have a lot of compassion for whatever however they might be organizing themselves in the moment. So anyway, but the soul vision, like capital S soul, you're talking about. Essence.
Yeah.
You're talking about the thing that lasts beyond the wound.
Well, they came into this world with that.
Had it before the wound, that will have it after the wound.
Yes.
That sometimes gets disconnected from because of the wound.
Yes.
But that is always through and through.
Yes, 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 yes. I mean, that's who I strive to coach when someone sits in front of me. And they might have zero connection with essence, but I'm looking and I'm like, I want to find this part of you and I want to draw it out.
Yeah, you're fantastic at that.
But that, and that's really where the work is most exciting. That's usually where the tears come from for me when we reach this place and they're like, oh my God, this is what I'm really here. This is who I really am. This is what I'm really here to do. This is what I'm really here to experience and express. And
absolutely.
Holy shit.
You did it with me yesterday. You totally did it with me yesterday. You worked your magic and I was a blithering mess. Just waterfalls out of my eyes and nose.
Hopefully it was in a lovely
with
way.
Joy. Like I was coming into a place of like being able to, be loved and seen and accepted and like me accept. It was really about me accepting that and getting all the programming out of the way.
So wouldn't it be cool if we had mates there that could meet us there? And wouldn't it be cool if our lovers could meet us there?
So if that's the definition.
Our partners could meet us there. Well, that's what I mean.
That's
a different
definition. Then shit, I'm up for soulmates. Like that sounds good.
I would say that's where I feel like you and I are soulmates in that regard. I think it's helpful because I've noticed that if we're just playing with these like two worldviews, the what do I do to get something worldview, which is totally natural. I don't want to pathologize that.
Yeah.
Okay. What do I do to get a partner so I'm not lonely? What do I do to get money so that I feel worthy? What do I do to get this than that? Right. Okay. So that's a normal aspect of our life. And then there's maybe this more soul orientation of this, who am I becoming? That's a different conversation. And it usually gets eclipsed by, well, I need to get these things first in order to be okay. Regardless, so what I've noticed is that the part of us that is aiming to get something can weaponize or leverage the soul stuff conversation, which is like, if I get good at this essence shit, I'll get more pussy. I'll get more money. I'll get more admiration.
Yeah. It's this weird thing. Yeah.
And it doesn't
ego.
It can't quite grasp that it's doing it. It can't see that. It's just like, this is the path to get what I want instead of, oh gosh, you're really missing the boat there. And I think that maybe is just a young thing we got to kind of work through, maybe it's not that we either do it or don't do it. It's just to what extent are we doing it? I don't know if we can ever be done with that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I that's a good question. I'm curious. I don't know if you can answer this here, but I feel curious how you might coach somebody there.
Well, I just want to say personally, I think it would be really arrogant for me, but yeah, I'm done. To me, like that would be the like, of course, there's a huge shadow there. So it's less like I'm going to always be seeking to get something, to get my needs met or to get my ego stroked or whatever. There's just always going to be a certain amount of that going on.
Yeah.
And it's a given. Just a given.
But that doesn't sell things. It doesn't sell programs and that doesn't sell lipstick.
Well, let me just like, if I just own it, like that's going to be in there and that guy is sitting in the boardroom and he's at the table. He's just going to be a part of it. I think it would be completely full of shit to be like, yep, I am no longer doing that anymore. It's like, okay, great. Hello, cult leader. You're an asshole.
Well, you're speaking to something so valuable that's actually, I think that's news for people. If we talk about development, right? Like they, you were like, oh, I wouldn't have, I'm going to talk to myself at 30 because at 20 I couldn't have heard it. Right. Or I was just in a different place at 20. So I think
drunk.
You were drunk. You were drunk. You definitely were drunk. I've been looking at the way people like market things lately because I need to start marketing this program for the couple, align your values and all this shit. And I've been looking at like how the marketing happens and I'm just noticing there's so much marketing that, it feels a little bit radical for me to say, but it's like, it's unethical because it does sort of talk about the finish line. Like once you do this thing or once you do my program or whatever, you'll no longer feel lost or have.
That's bullshit.
I know it's bullshit, but bullshit.
No, it's bullshit.
If you think about how many times that's out in the world, how many times there's something that catches your attention that like, oh, well, if I do this workout, I'll no longer have this problem. Or if I eat this diet, then I'll no longer struggle with weight going up and down or whatever. Yeah. Right. If I do this thing, then I'll no longer have bad sleep. So there's always, it's like there is, it's the framework that I think a lot of us have been, I know you laugh at me when I say this, but I think we've been enculturated into certain frameworks of thinking. And so you're talking about making room in your mind that off and on for the rest of your life, you might have some needs, or you might have a guy that wants to like handle all the things to keep you protected and safe, or you might whatever. And that's, I'm saying that's news to people.
Well, I would say that it's part of that. If we come back to that, we're getting these kind of two levels of development. And that first level of development is seeking exoneration. I'm going to be done.
Yeah.
This product's going to do it for me. This partner's going to do it for me. This spiritual path is going to do it for me. And I'm going to be done. I'm going to have, I'm going to make F you money and be done. Right. That's the game plan. I talk about this in my book, right? I'm going to get to this place. There's a finish line, whatever it is. And I'm finally going to be comfortable once and for all. I'm finally going to have certainty and stability once and for all. I'm finally going to feel enough once and for all. Done. I can kick up my feet, be done. Finally get around to doing the things I really want to do with my life.
Right.
All right. That's a worldview. That's a stage of development. Like there's a, mm-hmm. like a there. And I remember sitting in one of Genpo Roshi's retreats, and he was talking about the phases of enlightenment. Like there was this one hill and then there were other mountains after that. And I was like,
what the fuck?
This, I'm out. I'm out. I remember I was like, fuck this. I was so mad.
Wait a minute. There's not just one finish line and then I'm done?
Yes. I was so crestfallen. I was like, this sucks. Are you kidding me? I'm not done. I was like, all right, I know it's not about this and it's not about the fame and it's not about the money. Okay. It's going to be the spirituality. Yeah. That's the ticket.
Totally.
I'm going to, no more suffering for me.
Yeah.
All done. And then he's like, yeah, yeah. So once you're over this mountain, then there's the next mountain. I was like, next mountain? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But that is this kind of heart. There is a heartbreaking realization. Like, yeah, there's not a finish line. There's always work. And I think there's a, like learning to accept that I keep getting reminders. I need to accept that. Like the temptation is to always come back to this is going to have it be done once and for all. I'm like, okay, I kind of know that's not really the case.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we don't do the things to be healthy and to honor ourselves.
Yeah.
But I think this idea, I think for a lot of people, their only motivation is to reach a finish line.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez, thank you so much for your,
thank you.
And I would love one of your AI generated cones. She'd send it to me.
That's too funny.
It reminds me of what you talk about being 20. I think the statute of limitations is up on this, so I can't go to jail. But
what?
One of our roommates had a big test, and a couple of us went out for a few cocktails and
in college.
Yeah, and those street. Like if there's construction, that there's like a barrier and they have the flashing light on.
Lights. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Notoriously.
One of those happened one of those happened to get into our truck.
Yeah. So common.
They're so bright when they get put into your bedroom. So we helped him sleep that night with it.
Put it in his room?
Yeah.
And he had a test the next day?
He had a test.
Oh my God. Did you find out how he did on the test?
Oh, I don't care.
Oh my God. Whoever this person is, I'm sorry on behalf of your roommates.
He's fine. We're still friends. We're still friends. We're good.
Okay, good.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer and Dirk, for your questions.
And thank you, Trip, for your loss of feeling in your arms.
I can feel my arms now.
Hey. I can feel my arms. Yeah.
Please mark the bottles if you put something
else
in there.
I would not do that. I know,
but just mark it.
What would I even have to put in?
Yeah, right. All right.
If these interviews are helping you, please leave a positive review on whatever podcast app you use so that others can discover the show more easily.